Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hey, let's get started here. Please go to wiserliving.com, WISER.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. There is also a pop-up, and you want to put your name and your email address. Please do that for me. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of your YouTube videos that have been uploaded. And by subscribing, you not only will get access to these educational videos, but you'll be informed when a new video is uploaded. And I believe there's two new videos uploaded, so you want to make sure you go ahead and check that out. You can also get access to our archive radio program at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take a look at your earliest convenience. Once again, check out wiserliving.com. It's free. It's free to put your information in there. It's only two lines. It won't take you long at all. Subscribe at Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. And like us at facebook.com/wiserliving. And you can also connect with us at Google Plus, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to, as always, welcome you to each and every one of you to the program today. I always like to call it a call, but it's actually a program. And because I know you've taken your valuable time out to tune into this broadcast, your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 27 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience. Inflammation. Wow. Inflammation is part of a complex response of the tissues of the body to harmful stimuli, such as irritants. Not the kind of irritants when people irritate you, not those irritants, but damaged cells or pathogens like bacteria, viruses, a fungus, or a parasite. You know, inflammation is a protective response that involves immune system cells. It involves blood vessels and endotoxins. An endotoxin is basically a bacterial poison that obviously is harmful to the body. And these inflammatory mediators can be inside as well as outside your body. And most of you have heard of platelets. I was dealing with an individual that has an issue with platelets, and they're just disappearing and doctors are trying to figure out where are they going. Platelets are an essential component in the blood. They are cell fragments that become activated, changing their shape in response to injury signals. Platelets are the parts of our blood that stimulate blood clotting to prevent us from losing blood when we're injured. Well, that's obvious enough. And researchers now know that platelets are also an integral part of inflammation. They said certain molecules that directly activate inflammation inside blood vessels, and they also produce a variety of inflammatory mediators such as growth factor, adhesion molecules that attach cells together to close up a wound, and cytokines. You're going to hear that word a lot. Cytokines, which are a key component of inflammation. Cytokines, they are cell signaling molecules that aid cell-to-cell communication and immune responses, and it also stimulates the movement of cells toward sites of inflammation. It also, it steers certain cells towards infection, sites of infection or trauma. So as you can see, there are many faces associated with inflammation, and inflammation is not always a bad thing because it protects us from traumatic damage. It protects us against the invaders. You cut your finger. You know what happens, right? The blood appears, germs spread, and inflammatory response starts. So what's good about it is because, you know, your body basically is trying to what? It's trying to heal the cut. But when that same inflammation response kicks in, when there is no invader, well, then that's not good at all, because that's when disease sets in. For instance, you see it in diabetes, where inflammation and insulin resistance are correlated, and in Alzheimer's, where the human brain is clogged up with plaque and inflammatory cells. But you don't need a disease to have inflammation. You know, chronic long-term inflammation can form over longer periods of time from years and years of just small insults or small amounts of damage that adds up, which can affect multiple areas of your body, including your skin, energy levels, hormonal levels, your hair, and that list goes on and on and on. Now, when you combine these small amounts of damage along with an inflammatory diet, like eating sugar, high glycemic carbohydrates, stress, processed foods, endocrine disruptors like plastic bottles, nonstick pots and pans, antibacterial soaps, chemicals, low protein intake, low fruits and vegetable intake, lack of sleep, toxic substances in household cleaning products, dehydration, and lack of exercise, well, you got a huge mess of inflammation. Now, inflammation basically controls our lives. I mean, if you or anyone you know has dealt with pain, has dealt with obesity, ADD, ADHD, peripheral neuropathy, dental issues, or even cancer, you are dealing with inflammation. So, and most of us, we when we're suffering with one or more of these disorders, we have no idea how to eliminate it. And medication helps in many ways, but it doesn't get to the root cause. So this may seem foreign to you, but the majority of inflammatory diseases start in the intestines with an autoimmune reaction that progresses into systemic inflammation, which, you know, systemic means it's traveling all through your body in the bloodstream. And as it's traveling, you know, to really be effective at managing or overcoming a disease, it needs to be addressed on all levels. You know, one of the golden keys in this process is taking a look at where this whole process actually starts. And your intestines are made up of a very large, detailed, semi-permeable lining. As a matter of fact, the surface area of your gut can cover 2 tennis courts when stretched out flat. That's in a normal person. Its degree of permeability fluctuates in response to different chemicals, chemically mediated conditions. An example would be when your cortisol level is elevated due to the stress of an argument, or your thyroid hormone levels fluctuate due to burning the midnight oil. When this happens, your intestinal lining becomes more permeable or porous. So we don't even think about, if you don't even think about that, then you sit down to eat and partially undigested food, toxins, viruses, yeast, and bacteria have the opportunity to pass through the intestines and gain access to the bloodstream, which is known as leaky gut syndrome. So when the intestinal lining is repeatedly damaged due to reoccurring leaky gut syndrome, damaged cells called microvilli become unable to do their job properly. The microvilli is in your gut, in your intestines. So they become unable to process and utilize the nutrients and enzymes that are vital to proper digestion. And eventually, digestion is impaired and the absorption of nutrients is negatively affected. Then as more exposure occurs, your body initiates an attack on these foreign invaders. It responds with inflammation, allergic reactions, and other symptoms that we relate to a wide variety of disease states. Now, on the surface, it may sound relatively harmless, but this situation often leads to numerous and even debilitating diseases. Since your immune system can become basically overburdened, these inflammatory triggers are cycled continuously through your blood, where they affect your nerves, your organs, your connective tissues, your joints, and your muscles. And this is how a disease develops. The presence of inflammation is what makes most disease states noticeable or recognizable to a person. And it can, and most often occurs for years before it actually exists at a level where it's recognizable. And how long, and how, you know, and basically also how long it's been simmering. You know, when you turn, you boil some water, you're boiling food, and then you turn the fire down really low so it can simmer. You don't really see the heat going, but it's actually there. Same thing's happening in your body. And so the it being recognized and that simmering effect really determines the degree of severity of the disease and often the prognosis. And this is assuming that the inflammation can actually be controlled. I mean, one could debate that without inflammation, most diseases would not even exist. Let me give you the list of diseases that have a relation with inflammation. You might want to hold on to your seats here. Let me start off with allergy. You know, when we look at the mechanism or the triggers, it's four immune-mediated types plus sensitivities, all of which cause inflammation. Alzheimer's, chronic inflammation destroys the brain cell. Anemia, inflammatory cytokines attack of the erythropoietin production. Big words, I know. Cytokines is a small protein that sends out these signals that aid cell-to-cell communication. Erythropoietin is just a hormone that's secreted by the kidneys that increases the rate of the production of red blood cells in response to not enough oxygen, you know, traveling through your body. Ankylosing spondylitis, inflammatory cytokines again, induce autoimmune reactions against joint surfaces. Asthma, inflammatory cytokines induce autoimmune reactions against the airway lining. Autism, inflammatory cytokines induce an autoimmune reaction in the brain, arresting right hemisphere development. So you're not getting that development there, so obviously you have symptoms as a result of that. Carpal tunnel syndrome, chronic inflammation causes excess muscle tension, shortening the tendons in the forearm, and wrist compression of the nerves. Celiac issues, chronic immune-mediated inflammation damages the intestinal line. You notice the intestinal line is being damaged in a lot of different areas. Congestive heart failure, chronic inflammation contributes to heart muscle wasting. Crohn's disease, chronic immune-mediated inflammation damages the intestinal lining. Eczema, chronic inflammation of the gut and liver with poor detoxification causes issues. Fibromyalgia, inflamed connective tissue. You know, cells get together and they connect and they call it connective tissue, which makes an organ, right, organ system. Well, inflamed connective tissue often food allergy related, and it's exacerbated by secondary nutritional and neurological imbalances or nerve imbalances. Fibrosis. You know, inflammatory cytokines attack traumatized tissue. Gallbladder disease, inflammation of the bile duct or excess cholesterol production in response to gut inflammation. Remember, your liver makes, let's say your liver makes 50% of cholesterol that your body actually needs, and then you go out and eat processed foods and all this crazy stuff, and you get an excess cholesterol that your body doesn't need. Hence, you go to the doctor, and you get prescribed a cholesterol-lowering drug. GERD, inflammation of the esophagus and the digestive tract, nearly always is food sensitivity related and pH driven. Guillain-Barré syndrome, you know, autoimmune attack of the nervous system, often triggered by what? Autoimmune response to an external stressor or vaccination. Hashimoto's thyroiditis, autoimmune reaction originating where? In the gut. Triggered by antibodies against thyroid enzymes and proteins. So we go treat the symptom of it in the thyroid when it's actually the gut that needs to be dealt with. Heart attack. Chronic inflammation contributes to coronary atherosclerosis. Kidney failure. Inflammatory cytokines restrict circulation and damage nephrons and tubules in the kidney. So, you know, people are, okay, nephrons, I know it's science, but it damages the kidney. Multiple sclerosis, inflammatory cytokines induce an attack against connective tissue. and it also induces a autoimmune reaction against the myelin, which is a covering of the nerve. Neuropathy. Inflammatory cytokines induce autoimmune reactions against myelin, vascular, and connective tissue, which irritates the nerves. And people with diabetes have neuropathy, you know, it's called polyneuropathy. Pancreatitis. Inflammatory cytokines induce pancreatic cell injury. And you need your pancreas for insulin and glucagon. Psoriasis. Chronic inflammation of the gut, chronic inflammation of the liver with poor detoxification. Polymyalgia rheumatica, inflammation cytokines induce autoimmune reactions against muscles and connective tissue. Rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory cytokines induce autoimmune reactions against the joints. Scleroderma, inflammatory cytokines induce an autoimmune attack against connective tissue. Stroke, chronic inflammation promotes thromboembolic events. What is that thromboembolic? You know, it's basically blood clots. Usually starts in your legs. Surgical complications. Inflammatory cytokines, often predating the surgery itself, slow or prevent healing. So it's there before the surgery happens. But, you know, a lot of times the surgery gets blamed on the surgery when it was there before they even went inside. So all of these disease states have a relationship with inflammation. And the fact that your immune system actually drives the inflammatory process, it's well established. It's not like it's not known. It's known. It's in research papers. But the answers are limited as to how to manage it, how to overcome the autoimmune process. Because the typical approach to therapy is to suppress the immune response with immune suppressive agents or medications or sometimes steroids. Many of you have, because I've spoken to you that, you know, you're on steroids and you're on immunosuppressive drugs. But these two approaches are designed to reduce inflammation, but neither stops the underlying disease processes or allows for the damaged tissue to regenerate. So the medication is working, it's doing its job, but what you actually need is regeneration. You need to find out what the underlying cause is in order to move from a dysfunctional state to a functional state. And unless you actually turn off the actual cause of the inflammation, all you have done is postpone the inevitable and potentially destroy your body in the process. Well, how? By allowing the inflammation to simmer, by allowing the inflammation to smolder. It's a low grade. It's like people that are overweight or obese and they're trying desperately to lose weight. They're going on all of these different programs, weight loss programs and everything, and your immune system is on the inside looking at a fat cell that needs to be burned, and it's looking at it, and it's sending this cell-to-cell communication, this information, asking questions. Are you a fat cell? Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. And then it finds out that it's not okay, because not only is there fat in the cell, there's also toxins in the cell. And sometimes you have this insulin sugar imbalance, so there's insulin in the cell. And so that immune system is not going to allow that fat cell to be burned, number one. And while it's sitting there trying to figure out what's going on, it's creating an arena of low what we call low inflammatory response, which causes another problem. The term inflammation rarely gives you a truly accurate image in your mind unless you've actually experienced it. Yeah, I'm talking about it right now, but if you've never experienced it, it's basically words that you're trying to understand. But all of those individuals that have experienced it, they get this. So then this inflammation begins to make sense because of the pain and the dysfunction that's associated with the inflammation. And the ability to be inflamed is absolutely necessary for repair processes to occur. That's the rub. It's absolutely necessary if you're trying to fill a cut internally or externally. It's when the regulation of inflammation is not controlled that we begin to have a problem with it. You know, published research has shown that many of the inflammatory diseases that we suffer from start in the intestines but are not presenting as intestinal issues. So since inflammation is commonly mediated by the gut, it is a logical starting point in the evaluation process of any patient that are having these types of problems. You know, I've always said, so go the colon, so go you. I mean, there are approximately, let's say there are seven common areas that should be considered when looking at factors that cause gastrointestinal dysfunction, which then creates an environment for chronic inflammation. So the first one is diet. And the key triggers here would be alcohol, gluten, casein, which is a slow-acting protein, processed foods, sugar, and fast foods. I hope that doesn't ruffle your feathers. Number two would be medication. The key triggers here are corticosteroids, antibiotics, acids. A lot of people, gulping down antacids because they need to have reflux or burping or that pain in the chest and feels like there's a knot there. Xenobiotics. What? Xenobiotics? What in the world is that? Dioxins, PCBs, pesticides, all those chemicals out there, pesticides, just the poisons out there that we breathe in. Infections, which is closely related to inflammation. Infections, the triggers here would be H. pylori, which is in the gut and is difficult to get rid of, yeast or bacterial overgrowth, viral or parasitic infection. Number four would be stress. Whoa, stress. The triggers here is stress that causes excess cortisol and catecholamines like adrenaline, noradrenaline, and dopamine, which leads to adrenal fatigue. Because cortisol comes when you're under stress, your body has to produce cortisol. It's got to travel through your bloodstream because the body's got to try to embrace the stress. Hormonal issues. The key triggers here are thyroid, progesterone, estradiol, and testosterone. Now, keep in mind, especially with estradiol, if you're taking a medication or a pill that is has estradiol in it, it's depleting valuable nutrients, basic building blocks that you need in your body each and every day. And a lot of people take birth control pills. Estradiol. Neurological. Brain trauma, stroke, and neurodegeneration are key triggers. Neurodegeneration is nerve degeneration. Metabolic, number seven. The key triggers here are glycosylated end products, which are inflammatory end products of sugar metabolism, intestinal inflammation, and autoimmune issues. And so you're noticing, you're hearing science words that, okay, what is that? But there's a common word that I keep saying, basically two, cytokines and inflammation. You hear, you've heard several, it damages the bloodline, the vessel, the lining of a vessel or an organ. There's a key there. So what am I saying here? Food really matters. Food matters. If you get a chance, speaking of Food Matters, if you get a chance, you should watch the movie called Food Matters. It'll bring to light just about everything I'm saying here. Food matters. So I think you can go to YouTube and find it or, look it up on Google it. So, food actually matters. And I say that because, and I keep saying it, because when the gut is too porous, regardless of whether you can feel it or not, it is often a significant cause of an extremely long and ever-growing list of conditions. I read off a bunch of conditions. The inflammatory flow that takes place by any inflammatory trigger, from the diet, from medications, infection or stress or hormonal or neurological or metabolic, which I just spoke of, that inflammatory flow can break down the intestinal permeability and allow for a leaky gut mechanism to actually start. So if you take on too many projects, or you eat poorly, or you have limited or poor sleep patterns, then you can bet that intestinal permeability will increase and food will start to leak through. Your immune system will then begin to recognize these patterns as other similar proteins like the cerebellum, thyroid, and when that occurs, you will experience symptoms that generally are far removed from what someone would consider to be food-related since they are not felt in the gut. Instead, you experience brain fog, you experience pain, fatigue, you experience poor sleep, anxiety, or hormonal dysfunction. Then you get these inflammatory chemicals called cytokines, which are the cell signalers, right? The cell-cell communication. You get these cytokines, which are strongly damaging to brain function. In fact, elevated cytokines are seen in conditions as Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, and even autism. So here's a challenge. Autoimmune disease is not clinically diagnosed until you have you have tissue disruption. And with some neurodegenerative or nerve degenerative conditions, you need up to 70% demyelination of nerve damage before it will show on an MRI. Well, you can't afford to wait for that type of advanced destruction before taking action. So let me recap a little bit here. Inflammation is running rampant. In fact, 1 in 12 women and 1 in 24 of men are dealing with full-blown autoimmune-mediated inflammation. People with inflammation in the early phases of autoimmunity will often claim no dietary involvement. Well, this is an inaccurate assumption because the autoimmunity is often triggered by factors not strictly related to diet, and a diet can become a secondary trigger later in the development of the condition. So if you are dealing with inflammation, then get a comprehensive evaluation to look at what is, you know, perpetrating your issue. Here's three things that you can do. Remove adverse mechanisms like stress, over-exercising, poor sleep, blood sugar dysregulation, like that. Number two, restore beneficial mechanisms. You know, create conditions of love and appreciation. Keep positive attitudes. Maintain proper exercise. Get adequate sleep. We're talking between 7 and 9 hours. You know, restore blood sugar balance. Number three, dietary support. Stabilize blood sugar. Remove the autoimmune triggers and promote intestinal integrity with proper flora. Include fermented foods, omega-3 with vitamin D, plant matrix vitamins and minerals. Get a hold of a patented plant polysaccharide formulation to support your immune system, support proper organ function, to help support proper digestive system function, promote gastrointestinal health, and decrease irritability. You've got to have that cell-to-cell communication. Eat anti-inflammatory vegetables like zucchini and peppers and asparagus, parsley, cabbage, chard, squash, carrots, broccoli, jicama, sweet potatoes, garlic. You got to, you know, put some garlic in your gut. Matter of fact, there's a video, just type in Dr. Budweiser YouTube, Dr. Budweiser and garlic, and it'll pull up an amazing garlic video on that. Fruits, apples, lemons, tomatoes, berries, grapefruit, pears, limes, apples. Apple is a fruit now. Yeah, it's a fruit. And of course, all organic, of course, organic. And then cleanse your mind. Appreciate yourself. Believe in yourself. Put depression on the shelf. As a matter of fact, if you increase your B-complex vitamins, that'll help in that respect. And remember, check us out at wiserliving.com. Check us out at on Twitter and LinkedIn and Google Plus, and Wise Living Radio right here. And remember this: let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Yeah, this is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.